He didn't even need a fancy building. He didn't even need a potbelly stove that we talked about earlier. Probably many of us in here remember the days of meeting in houses and churches where you fired up the wood stove and you went to the outhouse if you had to use the little girl's room. Now, fortunately, I'm not old enough to remember that in a schoolhouse. Maybe some have remembered that, but we're so blessed. And we sometimes get into formulas and we think we've got to do church a certain way. And we think God only moves if we sing certain songs, if we do it the way we've always done it. But, I just love the fact that Jesus just had church everywhere he went. And everywhere that he went, he was doing good. When Jesus didn't set out just to have church. He set out to be church. He set out to be the anointed one, the word of life, the word that brings change in people's world and in people's life. And when Jesus bumped into chaos, and when he bumped into death, and when he bumped into sickness, and when he bumped into sinners, how many know that things had to change, circumstances had to change. When Jesus passed the procession and the young man was dead and they were in mourning of the procession, but when life bumps into death, death has got to back up. Aren't you glad for that? Hallelujah. And so when Jesus came into a situation, things changed. Circumstances changed, atmospheres changed, attitudes changed. Dr. Lynn talked to us last Sunday about the power of our tongue. And how that our tongue is like the scripture relates it to being like a rudder on a ship. How such a small thing can direct such a big item, a big ship. One of the things that amazed me, and Brother Jim probably understands this more than anybody, how that great big thing stays afloat in that water. Something that heavy, that if I drop a pebble in the water, it's going to sink. But yet we can put a ship on the ocean, a cruise ship or an ocean liner, and we can put these great big ships and they stay afloat. But it's a law that's been put into place that supersedes my intellect and also supersedes my ability to see that, foresee that. But thank God for somebody who can dream higher, think bigger than what we do. Amen? And cause those things to happen. And so our tongue is like a rudder on a ship. And I was sharing with a family yesterday when we were ministering, and I said, attitude determines our altitude. And, sometimes attitude is everything. How we approach things, how we approach circumstances. We talked a little bit about this in Bible study Wednesday night. And one of the things the Lord has kind of been stirring in me lately and speaking in me lately is declaring favor over my life, declaring favor over situations and understanding the favor of God. How many feel like you have favor in your life? Yes. That I believe as we become believers and as believers of God and believers of Christ, that we have favor. And I believe that we can have favor with God and with man. The scripture says, and he increased in favor with God and man. Do you believe you can have favor with God and man this morning? Hallelujah. And I believe there's something about us that should be a favor magnet. I think we should be a favor magnet. That there is something about the presence, and I'm not talking about who I am or even my abilities, but something about the power of the Holy Spirit in me that should just draw favor. Do you believe that? Hallelujah, that favor is ours. When we're going to get to this, but when the angel came to Mary, he said to her, "Hail thou who art highly favored, the Lord is with you." The reason we have favor today is because the Lord is with us. It's not because I deserve favor more than anybody else. It's not that I have earned it, because grace is the unearned, unmerited favor. I didn't earn it. I didn't merit it. And guess what? I don't even deserve it, but I got it. Hallelujah. Thank God for his favor in our life. And favor may look differently to each of us. Favor may look different to you than it looks to me, but I'm thankful for favor. And how many know sometimes favor doesn't always look like favor? Hallelujah. And I just had to laugh this week. This week was one of those weeks where I just have to laugh because the Lord is really good about making me live what I preach. And even makes me live what other people preach. You know, so I said, you know, if I preach on certain things, it seems like it finds me that week. I kid you not. And so I said, I'm going to start preaching on prosperity, life, health, happiness. That's what I'm going to preach. I'm a follow Joel Osteen, and they accuse him of being a feel-good preacher. I'm going to start being a feel-good preacher. I mean, there's nothing wrong with feeling good when you leave church. Hallelujah. And know that God is for you and not against you. He is on your side. He favors you. He loves you. He loves you in spite of yourself. But favor doesn't always look like favor. Sometimes it looks like chaos. Sometimes it looks like catastrophe. Sometimes it looks like it shouldn't or to happen, RC. But in the midst of situations in our life, we see the favor of God and say, I didn't see it in the beginning, and it didn't look like favor in the beginning, but thank God for His grace, His mercy, and His goodness in our life. Amen. Can somebody say amen? And so there's situations, and it's one of those things this week I told Dan, I said, well, here's one of those situations where God's going to make me live what I preach, because the scripture says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He did not say, for everything, be thankful. He said, but in everything, be thankful. Because a thankful heart will change. It's like a rudder on a ship. It'll change the direction that you go. Hallelujah. And it was one of those weeks, and we started having some car troubles and some issues and things like that. I'm like, not now, Lord. I don't have time for you never have time for car trouble, right? You never have time for the chaos in your life. You know, it's like, really? And, you know, but as soon as, you know, you start to think that, the Lord checked me. And I said, you know what, hon? We drove 800 miles last weekend to go see Morgan and made a trip and just made a big round circle. And I said, we could have had car trouble down in the lower mountains of West Virginia and could be sitting along the road without cell signal. And there we would be. But it didn't work that way. Thank you, Lord, for favor. Thank you because you brought us home. Thank you that even with the car wasn't working, I got another one I could get into and get where I needed to go. Amen? Because you can't whine and complain at the same time. And so I said, thank you, Lord, for favor. Thank you that you brought us home. Thank you that we got another vehicle to get into. There's too much to be thankful to spend our life complaining, murmuring, and groaning about things that should be or could have been and were or weren't, and just stand up and say, thank you, Jesus. I'm here today. I'm upright. I'm breathing. I'm walking. I'm talking. I'm warm. I'm fed. And I'm loved. And I'm blessed. The favor of the Lord has been great upon our lives and upon this house and upon us. And so when we start in a new season, you know, as Brother Lynn said last Sunday, it's not that God's necessarily at the end of 2016, God's got something new to say for 2017. How many know it's the same message that's been preached since the days of the prophets of old? God still wants you to walk in what He's already told you, what He's already declared over your life, and what He's already given you and empowered you to do. And so, you know, I think about the slogans, it's new year, new you, right? So that could apply to, you know, Jenny Craig. She got her program going right now, you know, and all the spas, fitness centers, they got all their programs. New year, new you, right? Well, I'm here to tell you that it's not necessarily going to be a new you. God's already made you a new creature in Christ Jesus. There is no new you. How many of you here can say, I've been born again? I've been reborn. I've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. Can I just tell you this morning that's already the new you? Hallelujah. It's already the new you. Now, with that being said, how many know we can have new mindsets? We can have new adventures. Lynn said last week, set a course for adventure. If you don't know that, that's a line of a Love Boat song. But sometimes you've got to set a course for an adventure. How many are ready for some new adventures this year? How many are ready for some new experiences, some new mindsets, some new open doors, some new opportunities, some new relationships, some new friendships? Hallelujah. Some new things to happen among us. Because I believe God wants to always continually introduce us to new things, new opportunities, new moments, new concepts, new understanding. I want to understand the Word anew this year. I want to see things in the Scriptures, in the Word I haven't seen yet before. I want to understand some things. And there's some things stirring in my heart, and I've started checking in a couple things, and I'm thinking, you know, that's a total different way than how I ever viewed that Scripture. But Lord, I want you to not just let me see tunnel vision. I want you to enlarge my vision. I want you to open my heart. I want to receive things from you that I've not seen before, I've not heard before, I've not experienced before. I want you to open doors. I want you to make opportunities for the goodness of God and the favor of God to operate in my life this year. Are you ready for that? Open doors for favor, God. Hallelujah. Give us opportunities. And not because, and you know already that I'm God's favorite. Like, you know that, right? But not just because I'm the favorite will God move for me. I hear you giggling on that a little bit. How many know we are all God's favorite? His favor is toward us. His love is toward us. His loving kindness is towards us. And we're going to talk about Isaiah 61. But how many know Isaiah began to declare and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of God's favor, the year of God's acceptance. How many feel like you've been accepted by God? Isn't that powerful? To know that you've been accepted by God. He accepts you. He loves you. He not only loves you, he favors you. And the word favor means, I looked this up, and it says, in the Hebrew or Greek, if you want to go that direction, it means graced or graciousness. It's unmerited forgiveness and access and power. I'll read that again. Favor means graced. You have been graced, or God's graciousness. It's unmerited forgiveness, access, and power. I may want to walk in God's unmerited favor, his unmerited forgiveness, access, and power in your life. Hallelujah. Now, the regular dictionary says it's an attitude of approval or liking. The Scripture says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman needing not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, we've always interpreted that Scripture and said, study to show yourself approved. In other words, if you study enough that you can be approved by God, that if I just do everything that God requires of me, and I work and I study and I just do everything that God wants me to do, then I'll find that I've been approved by God. But what I've learned that is what the Scripture says, study to show that you've been approved by God. When you study, what you find out is you've already been approved to operate out of that approval, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. You don't have to be ashamed. You don't have to come to God in shame. You've already been approved by him. You have his stamp of approval. And because you have his stamp of approval, hallelujah, you are a workman who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We are empowered to operate out of the approval of God in our life this morning. That's powerful. Amen? That's powerful. And so Isaiah comes along to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, or the year of God's favor. Now, Isaiah is also the one who prophesied a virgin would conceive. He's also the one to prophesy the one who would come, whom the government would be upon his shoulders, and his name would be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Hallelujah. Isaiah prophesied a lot of crazy stuff. Amen? He prophesied a lot of crazy stuff. And I'm sure back then they probably titled him a whole lot of titles. No wonder when Jesus came along did they say, who do men say I am? That's a loaded question. You really want to know what people say about you? He said, who do men say that I am? And they said, well, some say you're Elijah. Some say you're a prophet. Some say they got all kinds of titles for you. He said, but who do you say that I am? And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, but flesh and blood doesn't reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven has made this revelation known to you, Peter. And upon that rock, or upon that revelation, that understanding, I'm going to build my church. And guess what? The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's what the word says. So Isaiah come preaching the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of God's favor, the year that God would begin to heal his people, that God would begin to heal the nation of Israel, that God begin to heal the Jew, that God would send his word, send his life to bring healing. And so then we get over into the book of Luke, and one of the first things that the angel says to Mary when he comes to her is, hail thou who art highly favored, the Lord is with you. Guess what, Mary? It's the year of the Lord's favor. It's the year of the Lord's acceptance. It's the year of God's vengeance. It's the year of God's timing, his anointing, and all of what God is going to do. How's he going to do it? He's going to do it through a virgin who conceives and bears a son. And his name shall be called what? Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God. All of those titles. His name shall be called Jesus. His name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And it's not just a God with us. Aren't you thankful for this? It's God in us, God through us, God among us. It's a touchable, tangible relationship with God. Hallelujah. And so his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. And so he begins to declare favor over Mary. And there are times when favor don't look like favor. Hallelujah. But God is about to release his favor through his son, and his son being Jesus. So then we come over to Luke chapter 4, and we're going to read this scripture. Jesus stands up in the synagogue and says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Hallelujah. And he begins to quote the prophet Isaiah, and he begins to quote from the scrolls, and he begins to declare a year of favor. So go ahead and bring up Isaiah 61 for me. Go ahead and bring up King James first. And then we're going to read it in the Message Bible, just kind of like how it says. And then we'll move on. It's a year of favor. It's a year of God's grace. Now, I don't believe 2017 is the year of God's favor. I believe every year is the year of God's favor. Before I make you nervous. I believe it is a year of favor. But I believe 2016 was a year of God's favor. And regardless of how 2016 treated you, you still had the favor and the grace of God in your life. Aren't you thankful for that? Because there's some people who've walked through some crazy things in the last year. And what looked like it should have killed you, it didn't. What looked like it should have taken you out, it didn't. You're still here. Hallelujah. You're still here. You're still among us. And God is still working and moving in your life. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up brokenhearted, or the heartbroken, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Can I just tell you this morning, that's not just physically meek. That's not just those who are physically brokenhearted, those who are physically in captivity, or those who physically in prison. But how many know we can be in a spiritual prison? We can be a mentally captive. There can be a whole lot of things that take us captive or take us prisoners. Anybody relate to that? Fear can be a prison guard. Addictions can be a captivity. There are a whole lot of things that can hold us captive, that can keep us from having the release that we need and to walk in and exercise and in the empowerment of the favor of God in our life. Can I tell you this morning that favor is more powerful than your broken heart? Can I tell you that favor is more powerful than your captivity? Favor is more powerful than your prison. Favor is more powerful than your sickness or disease. Favor is more powerful than your poverty. favor in our life. Verse 2. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, or the year of favor of our God, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them, this is the great trade-off, I love this, instead to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, what? That he might be glorified. Now, we're going to read this in a moment in the Message Bible, but another translation calls them oaks of righteousness. What do you know about oaks? They're mighty, they're strong, they're majestic, they're powerful. That they might be trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste. Those things that have been torn down are going to be rebuilt, are going to be built back up. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. How many are ready for some repair of some generations to be done? Some things that seem like they are have been torn down or have not been profitable, to begin to declare over that and over our generations the favor of God. See, I have a heart to see God turn generations around, generational blessings, generational commitments, for God to do something supernatural in our genes, in our genealogy, in our generations. Anybody want to see any children get a hold of God? I want to see God stir up the Holy Ghost and those that the power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost has laid dormant in their lives. And yet we know they've been touched and they've been called and they've been purposed and they've been summoned, and yet we don't see it. And my cry is, Lord, stir up the Holy Ghost in them. Send the power of the Holy Spirit. Speak to them at night. Speak to them in their dreams. Begin to speak to them in a country music song. Speak to them on the radio, in the grocery store. I don't care how you speak to them, but start to stir up something in them that calls deep to cry unto deep, that calls out and says, there's something missing in my life, there's something drawing me, there's something wooing me. Hallelujah. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will what? Draw all men. I believe in the power, the drawing power, the drawing presence of the Holy Spirit to draw and get a hold. Anybody remember when God began to deal with you and begin to draw you, and begin to woo you into the presence of the Lord? That power still is real. That power is still just as strong to the generations. Verse 5. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the aliens shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double back, is what it's talking about. And for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering. And I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Aren't you glad that we are under an everlasting covenant? Can't be broken. An everlasting covenant says it can't be broken. And sometimes even when I forfeit on my end, God is still in covenant with me. Don't you love that? That even when I forfeit my end of covenant, he's still in covenant with me. He still fulfills his side of the book. He still fulfills his covenant in me. Their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord has blessed. Do we have any seed in here this morning that the Lord has blessed? You are the seed of God, and you are blessed this morning. That's what the word says. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. a groom who has checked out his bride and she has made herself ready. He has prepared her. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. Righteousness and praise to spring forth. Amen. And as we understand the favor of God in our life, we have so much to be thankful for, to give him praise and to give him honor and to worship him. Amen. So he said, for beauty, I'm going to make beauty out of your ashes. I'm going to heal the heartbroken. I'm going to give you the oil of joy for mourning. Now, I looked this up one time to figure out what the oil of joy is. Anybody do anything with essential oils, you understand, if you tried essential oils or whatever, you know that that's a big thing right now, right? Everybody's got an oil for that. There used to be an app for that, now there's an oil for that. If you got a sickness, they got an oil for it. You need to try this oil. You need to, you know, you need oregano. You need frankincense. You need whatever it is. If you need invigorated, you need grapefruit. If you need, I don't know, they got all these oils. And you almost have to study to learn, you know, I got to study to show myself approved under these oils because I don't know which one I'm supposed to do. Beth got me a diffuser for Christmas. So I'm asking my friends, what's your favorite? What's your favorite oil to put in it? What do you want it to do? Do you want it to make you feel better? Do you want it to make it invigorate you? Do you want to make you sleep? Do you want to put lavender in it? I want all of that. Which one is that? Well, guess what? There's no one oil. So I think if I want to sleep, I want lavender and chamomile. But if I want to be invigorated, I want like tangerine or grapefruit. And, you know, so if I want to feel better, I want oregano and cloves and all of these kind of things, right? So what I found out about the oil of joy, I'm like, well, I just need to find out which oil is the oil of joy, right? And there are, yeah, you need a blender. And then you can't just mix them with any oil. So like if you put it in the freezer and it gets solid, it's not the right oil. Or if you put it on paper and it shows up. And like you got to have to be like this degree to understand which oil you need to use. Right? Andy says, just take an aspirin. It gets too complicated. But I got to tell you, last week, actually on the way to Sunday school, I started feeling a cold sore come on my lip, like a fever blister. And from time to time, I'll get them. I have too much acid in my body or whatever it is. And so this thing is, and they just drive you crazy. They're so annoying. And when I was fixing my hair last Sunday, I burnt my cheek with my curling iron. So like, yeah, it was not a good morning at my house. I burnt my cheek. On the way, I'm getting this fever blister. I'm like, what is up with this, you know? And so anyway, so I'm dealing with this week, and that lip, it was just giving me a fit. Well, Sister Chris Chambers, when she had went to Israel, had brought me back a bottle of myrrh oil. And so I thought, I'm going to pull that out of there. I'm going to see what that oil, I wonder what that would do. So I put that on my cold sore and on my cheek. And can I tell you by the next, I was amazed at the difference that that oil made in that cold sore on my lip. Now, the reason I did that is because we did a study, if you remember in our Bible study, we talked about myrrh oil a little bit back some time ago. And I'm trying to hurry this story up. But anyway, does anybody remember the old Pink King salve or Porter salve? If you don't have a can of that in your cabinet, you need one. It like heals everything. It smells like a barnyard or something, though. It's like the worst smelling salve. You got to put it on and then wrap it up. Don't put it anywhere near your food or your cupboard. I have a can of it in my bathroom cupboard, and I keep it in a sealed baggie and in another sealed baggie because, let me tell you, that thing is pungent. It is aromatic. But I have put that on all kinds of stuff, and it like is a healing salve. It really is. But does anybody want to guess what one of the main ingredients in Porter salve is? Myrrh. Hallelujah. It's myrrh is one of the ingredients in there. And I put that stuff, that puppy, on my lip. Now, let me tell you, before it helped, it burned like fire. It was like I thought my lip was on fire. I was like, whoo! I hope this works because, you know, it's like one of those killer cure methods. My finger split. So I put on my finger yesterday. Same response. burnt like fire on my finger, but it does feel better this morning. Now, I tell you that because sometimes the oils or the things that God used to make us better may not feel good in the beginning. And it may not get the response that you want in the beginning, because sometimes I go kicking and screaming. You know, God wants to direct me a different way from where I want to go, and we go. But we go kicking and screaming sometimes, and we go like, Lord, that burns like fire. He's like, trust me, it's going to help you. It's going to get you where you, it's going to bring healing in your life. But what I found out about the oil of joy is it's not just one oil. I can't just go buy the myrrh or the tangerine or the frankincense or the calamus or the cinnamons or the cloves. It's a compound. It's a blend of oils. Can I just tell you in here this morning that the body of Christ is a blend of oils? I need your spice. And guess what? You need my spice. Because when they began to blend the oils for the temple oils, there was an art of the apothecary where they were to blend them according to the recipe. And he said, you blend them what I tell you to, and you put cinnamon and calamus and onycha, I believe it is, and all the different spices in there, and it becomes one blend of spices. When we come into the house of the Lord, what helps heal our mourning is the oil of joy. A little bit of your joy, and a little bit of your joy, and a little bit of your joy, and a little bit of your joy sometimes can bring the oil of joy to my mourning and cause my mourning to be turned into dancing. Hallelujah, because he has turned my mourning into dancing. I got to tell you, it is important to come together in the blending of the house of God for the understand the favor, the anointing, the joy, because the joy is not even, it's not Andy's joy that I need. And although he has joy, it's the joy of the Lord's joy in him that brings joy in, can bring joy in my life and to my mourning. How many know you can be a spice and a fragrance and an incense to someone who is struggling or mourning or hurting or crying or in need? The scripture said that we can be priests unto the Lord, oaks of righteousness. And the Lord spoke something to me, and I bring me that scripture up in the Message Bible, Carlin, and I think it's like Isaiah 61, probably about verse 3, I think. See, I think it might be the one that says, go ahead and start it too. God sent me to announce a year of his grace. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath anointed me. God sent me to anoint the year of his grace. And what do we say great favor meant? God's grace, his graciousness, a year of great favor. It's a year of God's grace. Every year, not just 2017, is a year of God's grace and his favor in your life. And we need to approach the year just like that. This is a year of favor for me. I'm declaring 2017 is a year of favor for me. I'm declaring for Steph, 2017 is a year of God's favor. I'm declaring for Donald, 2017 is a year of God's favor in his life, that God's going to bring favor in situations of sickness and diagnoses and situations. It's a year of God's favor. It's not a year of God's vengeance on us. It's not a year that I'm saying, man, 2017 isn't starting off right. I'm not even confessing that. I'm not speaking that because my tongue is like a rudder of a ship. I'm re-guiding this puppy. I'm redirecting this puppy. I'm saying this is a year of God's favor. A celebration of God's destruction of our enemies. My enemy is not my next door neighbor. Thank God for that. My enemies are fear, sickness, poverty. Those are the things that are enemies to me. It's not anybody overseas. And although they can be enemies in some ways, do you understand what I'm saying? The enemies that I'm fighting with today have nothing to do with anybody else. Most of them are my inner feelings, thoughts. Like so what I said before, fear can take us captive, can take us as a prisoner. And I've seen people struggle all their life with fear and be so bound up, afraid of everything, afraid to try something new, afraid to step out in faith, afraid to go to the doctor, afraid not to go to the doctor, afraid of everything that they do, and I refuse to live in fear. Now, I can't tell you that fear doesn't come on me sometimes, but I fear to be captive or be a prisoner. I refuse to be a prisoner of fear, to comfort all who mourn. If you have a pity party, don't make it a long one. And don't invite guests. To care for the needs of all who mourn in Zion, give them bouquets of roses instead of ashes. I love that. And messages of joy instead of news of doom. A praising heart instead of a languid spirit. Rename them oaks of righteousness planted by God to display his glory. I love that. Call them not just trees of righteousness, Joyce, but oaks. There's a difference in trees, you know that? Oaks of righteousness. Oaks are strong, they're lofty. And I thank God we've got some strong and lofty folks in here this morning. You may have bent in this last year, but you didn't break. Aren't you thankful for that? You may have had some adverse winds. You may have lost a few branches. It may have shook you a little bit. You know, the storms sometimes come to us and they may cause us to bend over. Some of these winds we've had, they're powerful, they're fierce. And they cause them trees to bend and break. But aren't you glad that you may have bent, but you didn't break. You may have weakened, but you're still here. One of the things that I love, last year we had the big snowstorm coming up at the end of this month. And I told you then, when I was standing outside shoveling that snow, I looked up at that oak tree, and don't you know, there's buds on that oak tree. And I laughed out loud, and I said, "Oak tree, don't you realize we're in a storm? Don't you realize we're in a blizzard? We got 3 foot of snow." And you know what that oak tree said to me? "Absolutely nothing." I was the only one crazy enough to talk to the oak tree. Yeah, you were listening, weren't you? It didn't say anything to me out loud, but what it said to me in my spirit is, I'm not affected by this storm. I was programmed to endure everything that's happening to me right now. The DNA of God is in my root system. It's in the trunk of my tree. Because when I started losing leaves, I started storing up chlorophyll and everything that I needed to get through the winter. I've been filled up, Sister Amanda, with everything that I need for this day and this season. And yes, there's snow around me. It's frigid. It's cold. There's a blizzard. But I'm not affected by this storm. I was programmed for it. I was programmed to endure it, Sister Sabrina. I got this. I may not like it. It's not my favorite season, and I don't look my best right now. How many know an oak tree doesn't look its best in the winter? It doesn't make it any less lofty or strong or regal or majestic or powerful. But it was programmed for this season. Can I just tell you this morning, sometimes you're going to go through some seasons. And some of those branches is going to fall off that aren't drawing from the source. And those buds look like they're premature. But guess what? Come March, April, that tree looked as beautiful as it did the year before and the year before that. God, you have made us oaks of righteousness. There have been some things that have come this year to bend us or to break us. But it didn't happen. We're still here. My roots still go down deep. I'm still secure in who God made me to be. The DNA of God is in the system of my tree. And I refuse to be removed or be affected by circumstances that are external. I choose to be governed by internal programming of what God has designed me to be. Isn't that powerful? He's made us oaks of righteousness, the planning of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Psalms 1 says, blessed is the man who is planted by the rivers of living water. His roots go down deep, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Isaiah began to declare, way before it ever happened, favor. Favor of God. It's the year of favor. So that when the angel came to Mary and began to say, hail thou who art highly favored, the Lord is with you. Hallelujah. What's he saying? I come to introduce to you, it is the year of favor of our God. And then Jesus stands up in the temple, the very first sermon he ever preaches. In the public arena, he goes into the synagogue. They hand him the scrolls of who? His old buddy, the prophet Isaiah. And he stands up and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me. I want you to put your name there. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed Lisa. And he has sent me to bind up brokenhearted, to comfort those who mourn, to set at liberty the captives, heal those who are bruised, to preach an acceptable year of the Lord. You want to know what you're going to hear in Word of Deliverance in 2017? You're going to hear a word of the acceptance of the Lord and favor of our God. Hallelujah. That's what he began to stand up and preach. And what he's saying is, I have come to usher in the year of the favor of God's grace on the Jew, the Gentile, and to the whosoever will. Favor has come. Hallelujah. And I'm sure everybody's breaking out the tablets and they're making notes and they're just like woo-hoo and shouting him down and saying amen and doing a praise break. And you would think that. Until he says one more thing, and he says, closes the book and says, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ear. Can I just tell you, there's been a fulfillment of that scripture. That day, Jesus stood up and said, I have executed and brought the year of favor, the year of grace of our God. And he sits down and he says, this day has this scripture been fulfilled in your ears? And do you know what their response was? Isn't this Joseph's son? And how can you say this? And he goes on to say to him, many were healed in the days of the prophets. But then he said, Naaman and those who were not of the Israelites were the only ones healed, and Naaman was healed, and then the Syrian was healed, and he begins to say, you'll say to me, prophet, you know, he said, a prophet is without honor in his own country, because all you can see is, isn't that Joseph's son? And sometimes I submit to you, we miss the promise, we miss the blessing, we miss the favor, we miss what God wants to do in our life, because we look at the vessel and try to determine all the reasons why it's not going to happen. All the reasons why it can't be. Why is it that we talk ourselves out of our blessing? We talk ourselves out of our healing. We talk ourselves out of a promotion. We talk ourselves out of what God wants to do instead of talking ourselves into it. I'm going to start talking my way into some things. I'm going to start declaring favor over situations. I'm going to start saying, this is what the word says. This is what God has promised. This is the prophetic word over my life. Hallelujah. We need to quit talking ourselves out of it and start talking ourselves into what God wants to do in our life. Hallelujah. Today. Not just in 2017, but in every day of our life. An oak of righteousness is strong, lofty. It may have bent you, but it didn't break you. You may have lost some leaves, or you may have been in a dormant season, but the source of life is in you. You were programmed for this. Stay grounded. Stay rooted. Stay connected. And don't underestimate the power of the seed that's in you. Because for every oak, it has the power and the ability to reproduce hundreds of times over everything that it is. And what opportunities we have to sow the seed of God every place that we go. Drop seeds, plant seeds. There's nothing better than accidental seed. Well, maybe there are some things better, but, you know, like organized seed is good. But did you ever go out some season after you had thrown maybe scraps out and then go back in the spring and all of a sudden you got a cantaloupe plant that you didn't put there? You got a watermelon growing. We went down to the pond that the other week there, and they had thrown some pumpkins out from storehouse last year. And there's pumpkins growing down in that brush over the side of that hill. Don't you love the surprise of a seed that you left somewhere and you forgot about it, but God brought life there? And you go back later and say, wow, God, that seed took root and it's producing. And when it produces, guess what's inside of that pumpkin? A whole lot more seeds that can bring a whole lot more life. I love to plant seeds everywhere. Seeds in finance, seeds in kindness, seeds in good works. Wherever there's opportunity to sow into something, find some areas, find opportunity. I'm going to sow into that. I'm just going to drop some seeds. I'm going to forget about it. And I'm just going to watch what God does in that seed to bring forth fruit and to bring forth life out of that seed. Amen. You are a strong and lofty oak, the righteousness of God, and he has planted you for this time and for this season. Hallelujah. And it may seem like there might be some seasons in your life where the snow is this deep. But look for the buds. Look for the life source inside of you, because it may seem dormant. But God's preparing you for a season in your life. Amen? To do something beautiful, to do something majestic, to do something great. And when he brings forth that season, with it comes the seed and the ability to reproduce it many times over. The same thing. The same DNA in as you is the same DNA that's in the seed that we plant and that God brings life out of. Do you believe that today? Hallelujah. If you believe that, stand with me this morning while Beth is coming to the piano. Hallelujah. And I want you to just start thanking God in the days to come. What I've started doing is changing even sometimes how I pray. Instead of continually repeating prayers, say, God, I need you to do this. I need you to do this. Because guess what? God does not, and nor has he ever had a hearing problem. He heard you the first time. As a matter of fact, the scripture says, before you ask, I already know what you have need of. Now, I'm not telling you not to pray. You pray, you do whatever you got to do to make it happen. But what I'm telling you is, we pray in faith believing. And then we just start thanking him and say, God, I thank you for favor over Aretha Barker's life this morning in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for favor over these babies that have been struggling. But things are turning around. I thank you, Lord, for favor in surgeries. I thank you, Lord, for favor for interviews. I thank you, God, for favor in finance. I thank you, God, for favor in open doors. I thank you, God, for favor in job changes. I thank you, God, for favor in mindsets. I thank you for favor in healings. I thank you that you've already opened doors that we didn't see coming. I thank you, God, that you're going to bring increase in this house. That, God, you're going to send resources, not just in finance, but you're going to send resources in people and abilities and the things that we need to affect this community and to affect the nations of the world. Hallelujah. We have the ability not just to affect this community, but affect the nations of the world. God, I pray for favor in relationships. I pray for spouses who need to know God. I pray for children who need to be drawn closer to God. I pray over children, hallelujah, for callings and anointings of God in their life, in Jesus' name. If you receive any of that, I just want you to raise your hand this morning. Say, God, I receive. I'm just going to thank you for favor. I thank you for favor, God. I thank you that you're moving right now on our behalf. I thank you that it is unmerited. It's unearned. There's nothing I can do to get it. But I thank you, God, that because I'm a believer, you cause us to activate and access power and graciousness in our life. God, I pray for favor over Johnny in Jesus' name. John Potter this morning, in Jesus' name, I speak strength. I speak power and might. And I thank you, God, that there is favor in his life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you that we're going to see turnarounds. I thank you, God, that we're going to see folks be drawn to you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I thank you, God, that you're going to make us oaks of righteousness, that people are going to look and say, you know what? It could have broken, but it didn't. It might have been them over, but they're still standing. Hallelujah. I thank you, God, that you're going to use us in supernatural ways, Father. And we just thank you for your favor in every area of our life, God. Help our focus to be on your favor, not in one of negativity, Lord, of defeat, but Father, cause us always to lift up our voice to you and our eyes and our hearts and our hope unto you, God, because you are the author and finisher of our faith in all things. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.